can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Yeah, we're just going back and forth, having a good time. It's what happens in when you're sitting around at a bar and you've got different personalities in the bar and you're talking sports. You're going to get into it with people in the bar every now and then. Stuff's going to happen. Laugh at yourself. We'll get to Tim Kirchin coming up. 312-332-3776. If you want to comment on anything that went down in the first hour of the show, a lot of good tweets. A lot of great comments inside the Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I'll tell you something, too, where I was wrong, and we're going to get to some baseball. Why, like, I'm not scared to ever share when I was wrong, because we're all going to be wrong. I saw something come up recently, and I wanted to get to this a little while ago. A few days ago. This the anniversary. What day is today, Chris? Is today the 22nd? 21st? 22nd? Where are we in October? I believe today is the 22nd.
22nd.
The anniversary of this post was October 19th, 2017. You want to hear it? Do I have time? Is Tim on hold or are we good? All right, good. I'll get to this then in a little bit. Tim's ready to go. We'll talk some baseballs. The World Series is a day off here. And it's tied 1-1, but we want to talk about our local baseball teams as well. Tim Kirchin is always, always informed and willing to participate with us on the Corona Hotline, and he joins us right now. Hi, Tim. How are you feeling today?
Good. I'm feeling really good. I wish there was a game today because we've gotten so spoiled by having a game every day, but we'll take the off day and move on.
Wait, do you like, though, that they have a chance to regroup? Because while we've been selfishly getting baseball every single night, we have tired arms. Are you happy that at least both teams could sort of take a breath and we can get some fresher arms?
Yes. The bullpens have been completely overused to this point, and we still got the five potentially most important games of the season coming up. And the last thing you want is a gas bullpen. But that's what we're looking at with the bullpen use that we have today. So, yes, a day off can always help a baseball player, especially at this time of year. So, selfishly, I'd like to watch a game tonight, but that's okay. It's better for the game that we don't play tonight.
Yeah, we all evolve, Tim, as you know, that we all get used to the new way baseball is played, and it's really changed a lot over the last 20 years. Greeny's talked a little about this too. It may not be so pleasing to watch a bullpen game. Like, what do you say to people about that? And is there, even though it's effective and even though that's the best way analytically, is there a way for baseball to get back to a more pleasing way of playing the game?
Well, I think there is, but I'm also 63 years old, and I grew up at a time where Bob Gibson always finished what he started in the postseason, and so did Sandy Koufax, and so did Whitey Ford. But those days are clearly over, and they're not coming back anytime soon. And with the way we've built these teams, you should run the team the way they do right now. If you're going to use 13 pitchers and pay a bunch of relievers and they all are throwing 98 miles an hour, you should use them. But I still think deep down inside we need to value our starting pitchers more than we have to this point. The Nationals won the World Series last year in part because they told their three best starting pitchers, you're going to pitch as much as you can. We're going to throw you as many innings as we can in a start, and we're going to use you in relief because you're the way we're going to win the World Series. And ultimately, that's pretty much what happened here. So, yes, I would love to see us get back to telling a pitcher, you're going to throw 110 pitches tonight, no matter what. You're going to get us out of this because you're our best option. But it doesn't work that way anymore. I totally understand it. But I would like to see us at least move back in the direction of Bob Gibson.
Tim Kirchin joining us. It's Waddle and Selvie. Waddle is on vacation visiting his parents as we broadcast from the First Midwest Bank studio. Tim, what about as far as our local teams, the Tony La Russa talk it won't go away. And it really surprised us just over a week ago when this first thing came down. And we've been waiting for someone to say, okay, we just wanted to check in with him, but it still won't go away. What do you know about the possibility of Tony La Russa maybe managing the White Sox?
Well, I've been involved in the postseason more than anything else, so I don't pretend to be as up-to-date as I should be on a story this important, but it's my understanding that this is a possibility. It's maybe more than just a possibility. I've known Tony forever. I've spoken to him recently, and there's no doubt in my mind that the game has not passed him by. I still think he could manage today, and I think he's such a wizardly strategist, and I think he's got such a great way with people that I think he could still manage today. And that's quite a thing to say, given his age and given that the game is clearly trending towards younger managers who embrace sabermetrics. But it's something that we have to keep our eye on, because I don't think this is, oh, they're just going to talk to him, cursory thing, love Jerry Reinsdorf, vice versa, that's it. I think it's more than that, and I'll be fascinated to see what happens here in the next week or so.
Do you believe that the young players could connect with it? Like, this is a team that is filled with young players, a core that's ready to go, a team with swag, Tim Anderson bat flipping, Aloy having the jersey open halfway. Is this a team that could be managed by an old school guy like Tony La Russa?
That's a great question, and note my hesitation. When you are literally 55 years older than some of your players, it's going to be an issue connecting with them. But I also believe Tony is the ultimate psychologist when it comes to dealing with players. Not many managers I've ever met understand which button to push to get the best out of this guy, and I think Tony could figure that out. The question is, are the young players going to be able to adapt to the things that he does? I'm not so sure. Our young players are bigger, better, faster, stronger than ever, but their understanding of the game isn't what it used to be. And I think that would frustrate Tony, and I think they would be frustrated by what Tony would ask. Do I think it could work? Yes. I think Tony La Russa could manage the White Sox, but it would take a lot of work from both sides in order to make those relationships work.
Yeah, and what about, Tim, where general manager Rick Hahn, really smart mind, you know the way the game is managed now. The front office basically gives them all the analytics and says, here's the best lineup, this is what the numbers crunch. Is Tony going to be able to manage that way and throw away, I've got a hunch?
No, he shouldn't throw away his hunches, because his hunches, his feel for the game, his instincts for the game are still critical today. And I think we've gone too far the other way with our analytics. They are wildly important, and they are really valuable to the running of a team. I don't dispute any of that. But occasionally, you just have to watch the game and say, all right, this is not the time for that. I can see this is a better option, and Tony will pick the better option before he's going to let anyone call from upstairs and say, you need to hit this guy in this situation. So I think Tony can adjust to that, because he's not going to get this job unless he acknowledges, I will make the adjustments to whatever the front office has to offer, as long as the front office adjusts to what I need to do in game.
Tim, Waddle and I have talked a lot about A.J. Hinch as well. And, like, to us, it reminds us of Joe Maddon, where you have this ready-made team, and then you have the obviously Rick Renteria in the middle of both of those stories, where, hey, we could have the perfect manager for the perfect team at the perfect time. And A.J. Hinch would never have been available if the cheating scandal didn't happen. What would you tell Sox fans about A.J. Hinch, and does the cheating scandal worry you a little bit?
Well, I think it worries everyone a little bit, but I would tell Sox fans that this guy is a really smart young manager. He's a really good young manager. He's got a great feel for the game, more important, a great feel for people. He embraces sabermetrics, yet being a former player, he trusts his gut and his hunches more than a lot of managers do. I think he would be a tremendous choice for the White Sox as long as everyone can get past the fact that he was involved in a very controversial situation in Houston. So it's not an easy answer, but I would say if I were a White Sox fan, A.J. Hinch would be an excellent choice.
All right, and now as far as the Cubs are concerned, there's big deals going on there, and I know you've been very close with the postseason, like you said, and you haven't followed this, but the Theo possibility of him leaving here, he's probably going to leave in a year. That most people believe that's going to happen, but he could possibly leave before then. Does the Cubs being in the situation that they're in, being eliminated early here, Theo possibly walking out the door. Does it surprise you to where the Cubs are now compared to where they were just a couple of years ago?
Yes, I really thought after 2016, I said it multiple times, this will not be the last championship this team wins with this core, and now I think it is because the Dodgers are so good right now, and they're going to stay so good for many, many years. And I thought the Cubs would make greater progress to this point, but they haven't. And now they have to take a serious look at those core players, all of whom can still play. That's obvious. But is it time to break it up? Just like a manager has a shelf life, a general manager has a shelf life in baseball today. And it's a shorter shelf life than it's ever been. Some of the players do also, so maybe it's time for the Cubs to acknowledge major changes are ahead here, and that doesn't mean a complete rebuild. They already did that, but they're going to have to make some very difficult decisions at first base, third base, shortstop, and other places to see where they're going, and I think those decisions are coming sooner rather than later.
And with those decisions, Tim, we know that one of them or two of them could be dealt in the middle of a pandemic. With owners hurting for money because of no fans in the stands, and the Cubs having players who statistically are at their low point of their career and only 1 year left on their deal, what can they feasibly get for these types of players?
I don't think this is the time to make these major moves for because of exactly what you said. Who knows where teams are going to be headed after losing this much money? Who knows what the free agent market's going to look like? Although we can all be logical about it and think a lot of guys are not going to get paid. So maybe that's the best time to trade a player who already has an existing contract that might be affordable, but it also might be the worst time to make a deal because you're not potentially going to get equal value in return. And they can't trade Javi Baez or Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo or anybody else unless they get equal value in return. And I think with the strange state of where baseball is headed after the World Series, it's really difficult to get your arms around, oh, this would be a perfect deal, say, for Chris Bryant. I just don't know if you can do that right now with all the uncertainty.
And finally, before we let you go, if Theo doesn't stick around in his 9 years, if you have to judge what he's done when he came in from Boston and the way he's leaving the team, what grade would you give his run in Chicago?
Well, certainly a B+, because they won the World Series. He took a team that was, as far as I could tell, way behind in the analytics age and the way teams are being run today, and he got it up to speed, I think, even quicker than people thought, even though it took longer for them to win. If he leaves, he leaves a team that made the playoffs again, so you can't say he left them barren by any means. But to repeat, they did not play as well the last few years as I thought they would, and that's got to go on his record, dropping him maybe from an A to a B+.
Tim, great stuff as always. Appreciate your work. Thank you.
My pleasure. See you.
There you go. Tim Kirchen joining us on the Cubs and the Sox. And this La Russa story is still out there. Bruce Levine reported that they had the interview already. And we'll talk about that. If you want to react to both the Cubs and the Sox stuff, 332-3776. I do want to share the anniversary of what I wrote on social media from 3 years ago. I was very similar to where Tim Kirchen is today on the state of the Cubs. All that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Are you guys now predicting that Tony La Russa is going to be the manager of the White Sox?
Man, it certainly sounds like that's the direction this is all heading, right?
Well, if John Heyman is saying that Alex Cora is the favorite to go back to Boston, right?
Which we all assume, yes.
Okay, so
we
then,
thought it was A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
That it would be A.J. Hinch's job to lose with the White Sox.
I still think it could be, but they need to move on this. Like, are you surprised that it's now Thursday and there hasn't been an announcement of the White Sox are talking to, or do they have to wait till after the World Series?
They have to wait till the World Series.
They have to wait till after the World Series.
So he's suspended until the end of the World Series.
You can't get on a Zoom during this? You can't?
You can do it illegally, and I'm sure, like, again, I you can talk, and I'm sure they have, but that's, you know how that is. You can't, quote, interview him until.
But you can text an agent and be like, hey, is your dude interested? And he can be like, yes or no.
Look at the NFL deals, the way NFL deals are signed right when free agency opens. Well, wait a minute. You worked out this really complex contract, and then right away you're agreeing to a deal? Like, we know that all these teams, you know, find loopholes. But you know, and then baseball doesn't like when you do something during the World Series even. I wouldn't be surprised, like, during one of these off days. Again, I still expect, I've told you this many times, that Tony La Russa is going to be the one to let the world know that it's his choice, that he's not interested, and he just wants some love.
I hope so, because I don't think that he is the right guy for this job. I don't think that he should be the one that leads this team onto what could be, you know, a multiple World Series run if, you know, if White Sox had what they wanted. You know what I mean? Like, I think that this is a team that's ready. You add a couple pieces in the offseason, that this is a team that's going to be in the conversation for a few years. This window is only opening. And I don't think he's the right guy given the vibe of this team and the vibe of the players and all the swag and all the drip and not wearing your uniforms and getting a chain every time you hit a home run and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that fits with a grumpy Tony La Russa sitting in the dugout or standing on the top step. He just doesn't fit this team. You know what I mean? He just doesn't
not
fit
at all.
Like,
no, the post, it's not a good poster. All the swag and then there's the old dude sitting on the bench.
Unless that's what he, you know, unless that's the kind of guy he wants to be. Like, we all think that Bill Belichick is this super serious. And I'm just comparing two old dudes here, right? So when Bill Belichick, when we all thought, you know, oh, they're all choreographing these celebrations and Belichick's going to hate that. And then we saw that behind the scenes clip a while ago of Belichick being upset that they weren't celebrating enough.
Not having
enough
fun.
He was like, you guys aren't having enough fun. Scoring in the NFL is hard. Celebrate, high five, dance, do whatever, choreograph stuff. Like, Belichick embraces that stuff. So maybe he becomes that guy,
but his track record, that's the difference.
His track record does not say he will be that guy.
Right, exactly. As far as the Cubs are concerned, I wanted to read you this, because this came up from 3 years ago, and I'm not scared to say when I'm wrong. I wrote this on October 19th, 2017, about the Cubs. And today is actually the four-year anniversary of the Cubs winning the pennant. We'll play that later. This isn't just a little past the anniversary of a bad moment. A year later, when the Cubs lost, I believe it was in five, to the Dodgers. And the Dodgers here are 1-1, and they're still going strong. You heard everything Kirchen said. I wrote this on Facebook because I had more, you know, you have more characters you could expand. I wasn't on the gram yet. I wrote, I'm not easy to please, just ask Ali Silverman. But as I sit watching my Chicago Cubs get their asses kicked, I'm not pissed. I'm just disappointed. Yet as I zoom out, I get more reflective. I literally did cartwheels when the Cubs hired Theo. I tried to convince my mom that the rebuild will be worth it. When Joe Maddon was hired in 2014 and talked about the future of the Cubby Bear, we tried to visualize what was ahead. Since that time, the Cubs made it to three straight NLCSs. They beat the Cardinals in the playoffs. They won a World Series. They eliminated Dusty. Yes, the Cubs looked bad in the LCS in 15 and this year's, but I'll happily look back at the previous 3 years as the best time to be a Cubs fan. The best news is, and here's the clincher, the best news is the window is wide, in all caps, open. Don't fool yourself. There are holes to fill, but this is not, in all caps, the end of an era. There are titles ahead, I believe. So be pissed. Be disappointed. The bar is higher for what we used to consider a good season. There is fun around the corner, my fellow Cubs fans. I promise. And I was wrong. I mean, Chris, this goes into what you said about when, and Kirchin agreed with you on the grade, that you wouldn't give him an A. You would give him Theo a B+. Like, here I sat. I read my words from October 19th, 2017, what I just wrote.
Yeah.
That I was so sure in that moment of getting eliminated by the Dodgers in five that there were not just great years ahead, that there were titles, plural, ahead with this great young core. And now I hear Jesse Rogers a couple days ago on the radio station saying the Cubs could sell these players with pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, that's the tough way to look at this. Is I heard Kirchin say it too, and my ears perked up because I was like, all right, someone else is with me on this. Because, Sylvie, you nailed it there. The expectations were more. And I get that Cub fans have the pent-up 108 years where they suffered losing. And you get that one title, and then you're like, okay, A+, that's it. But really, the last few years since 2016, they've been disappointing. And you've missed the playoffs. You lose in the wild card rounds. That Marlins team, that was a crap Marlins team that beat you this season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like, and now your future is completely foggy. Like, what is the pathway now for the Cubs to win another title?
Right. Just like I knew I had faith, and it wasn't blind faith because Theo had done it before. And even though the wins were in the 60s, I knew the plan. I saw the plan. Now the plan's the exact opposite of that. It's everything that there is no plan. Is Theo staying this year, or is he going to leave here in a matter of days? Is he going to hand things over to Jed? Can Jed do it without Theo then, once Jed's on his own? He only did it for a year or two in San Diego, then he reunited with Theo again. Chris Bryant, the former MVP, are you really going to take a low trade offer just to get his salary off the books? Does Tom Ricketts have any money to go out and buy pitching? Is Javi gone? Is Rizzo gone? Is Schwarber gone? What is the plan? I think it's the exact opposite of sitting here in 2014, 6 years later, even though we couldn't guarantee you anything in 2014 before the window opened. We knew there was this concrete plan. It is now 6 years later, the exact opposite. As you said, Chris, it's foggy, and I could even go a step further because there is no plan right now as far as what the Cubs are going
to
do.
I would also be worried. Say Theo leaves, turns it over to Jed. Why do you think it's going to be different? You know what I'm saying? Like, Jed's a part of this, too.
Well,
I like Jed. I like Theo. But unfortunately, right now, that future is not where you want to be as a Cub fan. So just because if Theo leaves, now it's Jed's thing to run, he's already a part of it.
What if it's worse with him just alone? Like, right. I love Jed. I love it. But it's always been that group. Theo's always been the overseer in the good and bad. Like, do I know that Jed Hoyer can be a great executive when he's on the line? You know what I mean? It's his rep on the line, and only his rep.
Well, what's different to me, and we're look at the two teams in the World Series now. Like the Rays have one of the lowest payrolls in the league, and no one's heard of anybody on that team, right? And then you've got the Dodgers, who just spend, but it doesn't look like their window's closing anytime soon. They might have the best player in baseball on their team, one of them at least, I mean, Mike Trout,
sure,
but
he's
not going to make it, you know what I mean? Like, Mookie Betts is one of the best players in baseball, and they just locked him up. And
yeah.
What, no spending in the pandemic? They just spent the most money. So don't tell me that, oh, we can't spend. Other teams are doing it. You just don't want to. And because your network isn't going as well as you thought it was, and they just shut off Hulu Live today.
We got to talk about Marquee later, too, because it's not just the Hulu thing.
So now So what, now you're not going to spend and your window's closing? Look at the Dodgers. Their window's wide open, and they keep it open because they keep spending, and they keep finding young talent, and they keep developing their farm system. They can do it. Why can't the Cubs keep doing
it? Well, what scares me, too, is a lot of friends of mine, guys I knew through work relationships who I became friendly with, lost their jobs with the Cubs recently. If you read the piece in The Athletic, they name all these guys who lost their jobs, whether they're baseball ops people, whether they're PR people, whether they're marquee people. These are good workers. Their salaries are a fraction of what any of these players make. And if they think cutting these people's salaries is going to help the bottom line, then what do you think they think about the millions of dollars that these players are making to help the bottom line? And that's what scares me. So we'll get into that a little bit later. If you want to react, 312-332-3776. We have a game to play a little bit later. We'll check in at Halas Hall with the update from Bears as they get set for Monday Night Football against the Rams. JD's going to join us at 4, but we've got Waddle's World coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports fans. Look at the aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities you can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Some NFL news as we start Waddle's World. Schedule change. The NFL has moved Bucks and Raiders off of Sunday Night Football and replaced it with Cardinals and Seahawks. This coming after the news that Raiders right tackle Trent Brown was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. The rest of their offensive line have also been placed on the COVID-19 list and labeled high risk because of their proximity to Brown.
The entire line.
So they'll have to pass a bunch of tests before they can play. But this move is to make sure that there is a Sunday night game.
Right. So, and that's a good one, too. That should be a high-scoring game with the Cardinals and Seahawks. So we don't know when. Like, it could be, what, another second Monday game or another Tuesday night game?
Maybe. But as of right now, it's on schedule for 4 o'clock or for 3:25, whatever.
Oh, really? So they didn't move it off of Sunday,
The
night.
Yeah, they just
so they're guaranteed to get a night game.
Yeah, they want to protect Sunday Night Football, so they protected it with Seahawks and Cardinals, and now this game has been moved to Sunday afternoon.
That's
so
crazy.
We'll get the news story tomorrow that the game has been moved to next week,
right?
To Monday,
right.
Or to Tuesday, or to yeah.
That's usually what happens when. I'm glad though that they have found a way that even with positive tests, that they can still get it where. A lot of times these games haven't been lost, and none of them have been lost, but like they've made really good work of the schedule so far, right? It's not like Major League Baseball where we have teams who haven't played games.
No, so far everything has been going pretty smoothly. I would say they've survived and adapted every week, and you know you just kind of hope the Bears stay safe and it doesn't affect them, but because they've been staying safe. And you know when we had Jalen Johnson on, he talked about it. And how they're, you know, staying safe and distant and masked up and everything like that. That's all you can really do.
Sylvie, didn't you like what Jalen Johnson had to say about staying to the protocols, what Matt Nagy and the Bears organizations laid out for the players, and then also the players being mature enough to be like, yeah, we get it. Okay, we got to take care of ourselves, and we all have to trust each other to do their own, to come in to work and to keep everyone safe.
They love football. They got to get their game checks. If they don't play, they don't get their game checks. And what I really like from Jalen Johnson to Black from a couple days ago is how he said, we asked him, how has life been in the middle of a pandemic during your rookie year with no training camp and games. He's like, this is the only type of rookie year I know. You know, like,
he's
got nothing to base it on, so he's just going with the flow, and he's really been a good player for the Bears this year. I like him.
The Ravens are looking at Dez Bryant again. The Ravens will bring in Bryant for a second workout. The first was in August to evaluate where they wanted to sign him to their practice squad. Bryant is 32 next month and hasn't played a game since December of 2017. The Ravens have one of the worst passing offenses in the league.
Yeah.
So they're hoping.
Rumors around AB continue to swirl, too.
Yeah.
I heard Shefty say, though, that he thinks with what the Ravens went through with Ray Rice, unless AB is totally exonerated, that their owner would not want to take a chance on AB. That's what Shefty's mouth today.
Yeah, it makes sense. I find it like, I don't know. I'm not intrigued by Antonio Brown whatsoever. Like, I get it. He could theoretically help this Bears offense. Chances are he's going to be a nutcase, and he's not going to help the offense at all. And in fact, he's going to ruin the room.
Right. Well, what we played from Big Cat, I was texting with Big Cat today. Shout out to him. I love that guy. Miss him so. That, you know, he was bad-mouthing Nick Foles. And no, it's Nick Foles. Like, that's a guy who could say that, too, when he's on your team. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not scared to say that sort of stuff. And he could rip a locker room apart. And this is, let's face it, we were just talking about COVID. This is when you have to trust your players the most with everything. Not just on field and in the locker room, but also off the field. Do you trust Antonio Brown off the field right now?
No. All those videos that he was live streaming with the cops in his front yard and all
the
stuff.
Movers, remember when they were taking away the stuff?
Yeah, right. Like, no. And, like, yelling at, I don't know, if it was his wife or his girlfriend, he's yelling at her in the front yard. Like, no, thank you. Hard pass.
Yeah, I'm good on Antonio Brown. Speaking of the Ravens, the Vikings have traded star pass rusher Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens. They receive a 2021 third-round draft pick and a conditional 2022 fifth-round pick for Ngakoue. Sources tell Adam Schefter he has to go through COVID-19 testing in the next 24 hours so he can be ready to join the Ravens when they come back from their bye week. They're off this week. The Vikings
are for sale. Got him, too, from the Jaguars. And, you know, it just shows you, look how quickly their plans change. When Kirk Cousins is throwing three picks and they are who they are this year, it's crazy that the Vikings, like, that's why you should be thankful that the Bears are 5-1. As ugly as it is, you could be the Minnesota Vikings, who was supposed to be better. They were supposed to be better, and they stink.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they go on the road last year in the playoffs. They win a game.
Yep.
They advance. Kirk Cousins looks like he's taken a step and shows up this year as complete trash. They owe him a lot of money. And their future looks really bad. Yep. If you start projecting out their cap space and what they owe to a quarterback who's not good, that's great for Bears fans.
Remember when they were trading for a kicker last year and then they cut the kicker like a game or two later?
Yeah.
They gave up a fifth-round pick for that kicker, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was with Baltimore, matter of fact.
We have a countdown. We can start the countdown. The countdown can begin to November 18th, where the NBA draft will be held virtually.
Oh.
Adam Silver will be in studio on ESPN's Bristol campus to announce the first round selections. And then Mark Tatum will take over like he usually does. And then everybody's going to do like what they did for the NFL draft, where everyone will be virtual. You'll get all the, you know, the top players will join in. The Bulls have the number 4 pick for now.
I was juiced up with some Bulls talk yesterday, guys. I'm not going to lie. It's been a while. And finally, with November 18th, like, in view, like, there could be, we'll see what Karnishevis is going to do here.
Bubba Wallace is going to drive the number 23 car for Michael Jordan's new NASCAR team. Jordan's got a NASCAR team. And his new racing team is called 2311. In honor of both of his retired numbers with the Bulls and then car number of his partner, Denny Hamlin, who he started the team with.
He's co-owning that team with him, right?
Yeah.
So is Hamlin's going to drive for his own team, right? Like, why wouldn't he?
I don't see why.
So they're going to have Hamlin and Bubba Watson. That's a good team.
Bubba Wallace.
What number was Bubba Wallace before? Was he 42?
He was 43.
43 in the 43.
Because he was in the Richard Petty car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now he's in the number 23 car.
Now
I
he's
like
in 23,
it.
And that's cool. if you like Jordan stuff. The Eagles have placed Zach Ertz on IR. Zach Ertz suffered an ankle injury Sunday against Baltimore. And ESPN's Chris Morrison reported earlier this week that the star tight end was expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. And Big Ten football starts on Friday night, but you can't bet that in Illinois because you can't bet Illinois college football in Illinois.
That's so stupid, isn't it? Is it like another thing that our government, why are we doing this in this state?
I can't angrily bet against Northwestern. I mean, what world do we live in?
Can't bet on a University of Illinois game?
I can't bet against Illinois, is what you're
saying?
They're
going to be good in basketball. Like, think about this, guys. The NCAA is scheduling tournament games in Vegas in a few years, you know? They've finally, this taboo nature of gambling and teams playing in Vegas. There's an NFL team there now. There's a hockey team there. They're going to get more. They may get a baseball team one day. And now the college, the NCAA, is going to be playing tournament games there. And the state of Illinois, us do-gooders in the state of Illinois, we cannot bet on our it's so dumb. Makes no sense.
It's because I was looking for it yesterday, and I'm like, where is the Illinois game? I want to bet Wisconsin.
I forgot all about this, Abdallah.
Yeah, Illinois plays Friday night against Wisconsin. I believe they're a 19.5-point underdog right now. But if you're in Illinois and you look on your various gambling apps, you will not find it because you cannot bet Illinois teams in the state of Illinois.
Just let us gamble. Let us sign up online. Stop doing an extension. Just extend it forever. Stop making dumb rules. You need all the money you can get. Let us gamble.
Yeah,
you worry about the other stuff.
Yeah, give me money to gamble against Northwestern Illinois. Come on, it's fun. Coming up next, what do I got? I got a pumpkin fight. I got a funny name.
Isn't that what we had in the first hour? We were fighting the pumpkin.
Someone throws drugs at a cop. And funny names. That's it.
Okay.
That's next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty. Love the song, by the way. There's another one of those songs. I used to love R.E.M. I don't know if you guys make fun of people who like R.E.M., but back in high school, I used to love R.E.M. And this takes me back. Whenever I hear music from R.E.M., I love it.
Speaking of bands, I thought about you, Sylvie, today. This is not the nuttiest story, although some would say that they might not, shouldn't be doing this. Depends on your take.
What, thinking about me?
No. The Smashing Pumpkins are going to release a sequel album to Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Oh.
But then they're going to tour, do like an arena tour based off of that. So they're releasing like rappers do this all the time. Rappers will release an album, put like two more albums out, and then release a sequel to another album.
What is
album.
A sequel to an album? Aren't they all sequels to the previous album?
No, because some of them are like they have like a distinct sound, or so they go back to that sound. Or
oh, good.
Depending on whether you think Smashing Pumpkins should be releasing new music or not, or you just want to live in the olden times. The Smashing Pumpkins are going to do that.
The last time I saw Billy and the Gang was at the United Center 2 or 3 years ago when they were touring. I remember you guys had – I was off. This is probably the day that I regret the most that I was off is when Billy Corgan – didn't he bring Jimmy Chamberlain in studio too?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Ooh, that made me – I took the day off because I was going to the concert. It was a summer afternoon. We went to dinner downtown and everything like that before the concert. But they were great. Like, and there were a few times where I was really mad at him. I saw him at the Chicago Theater several years ago with Danny Zetterman, and he was yelling at the crowd and being mad at the crowd, and the crowd was mad at him. And he was just in a good place the last time they toured, and they were playing the hits like the hits should be played.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope the trend continues.
Well, if they're putting out new music,
Yeah, I like it. When Billy did a solo album with just piano-based music, I actually liked it.
You Zwan guy? You a big Zwan guy?
I saw Zwan. Now, Zwan was the, after he got in a fight with everybody, he formed Zwan.
I saw Zwan, too. It was,
me, too, Bill.
I've seen Zwan.
Carmen and I traveled to Milwaukee with Carmen's friend Chris Bojan. We went up to Milwaukee to their, like, Metro-y type theater. I don't know what it's called up there.
The, what do you call it? The, It has three venues in it, right?
Yeah, it's a little bigger than the Metro, maybe a couple thousand.
The Rave.
Yes, yeah. And we saw Zwan up there.
Yeah, I think Chris and I went to the same concert. Instead of going to my junior prom, I went to
nice.
I went to Jamboree 2002, and Zwan was there.
Tenacious D,
The Strokes, Kid Rock headlined. Yeah. It was a good time. Instead of going to junior prom.
I like that. See, that's what music does. Brings you back. Nothing else, right? You could go back to sports highlights and say, where I was and this and that. But music just puts you in that time unlike anything else.
Supposed to go to so many concerts this year.
Yes, in answer to the Twitchers, that was a Q101
concert. Q101's Jamboree, whatever year it was. 02? Yeah. So here's the nuttiest story. Man busted for battery after domestic pumpkin attack. A man is accused of striking his friend with a pumpkin and its innards during a 2 a.m. confrontation.
Ooh, that sounds gross, his innards.
In two apartments. Isn't that what it is, though? It's gross.
Yeah, it's the grossness.
The inside of the pumpkin is gross.
We used to love to cut that thing up, and then the cooks. Did you ever bake the seeds when you were kids?
No.
You guys, Chris, you never, you did?
Yeah.
We used to dig in the innards, and we used to pull out the seeds, put them on a tinfoil sheet.
Yep.
Dad used to heat the oven up, and then we'd have pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, put some salt on there.
Yeah, lots of salt. Lots of salt.
Police say when they responded to the residence, the victim was covered in pumpkin seeds and pulp and was heavily intoxicated, and the two had been arguing. After the man threw a pumpkin and all of its insides of the pumpkin at the subject. When questioned by police, the man said he threw the pumpkin at the sliding glass doors, but it did not go through. All right, that's that.
That doesn't gross me. I mean,
didn't go through.
Are you guys, Sylvia, are you guys carving pumpkins this year?
I keep promising them, and then every day we get closer to Halloween, and the pumpkins are still uncarved. But but it does bring me back in time, so I would like to, yes.
My neighbors carved pumpkins way too early, because they were dead like a week ago. Like, they did that, like, flattening, where the pumpkin, like, flattens.
Yeah.
You know, they did that, like,
it's
a week
soggy.
Ago.
Well, so it's rained
a lot, they had to redo... They had to redo pumpkins, so now there's some new uncarved pumpkins out there, and I assume they're going to carve them.
Can I give you guys a 30-second rant on this?
Sure, yes.
I know you guys didn't ask, but to the families that don't carve the pumpkins, but they paint the pumpkins and they put them out, go home. No, thank you. That's weak. If you're painting the outside of the pumpkin instead of carving it so it lasts longer... You're failing at Halloween.
What about a
better design, though?
No, not a better design. Sylvia, the art is carving said pumpkin, not painting.
What's your stance on shaving pumpkins?
Shaving pumpkins? What is this, Manscaped?
Well, no. It's when you don't carve them, so you're not taking out the insides, but you, like, you're basically, like, whittling the pumpkin. No, some people do, like, crazy stuff.
I know what you're saying.
You know
what I'm like, you're molding
about?
It, but
like,
not going all the way
you
through.
You don't go all the way through, so you can't really see it at night unless you have, like, a light on it. But they do, like, all the intense carving on the outside without actually going inside of the pumpkin.
If you don't actually go all the way through, does it count?
I'm just saying. A woman busted after hitting a cop with meth. In her haste to ditch a bag of meth during a traffic stop, a Louisiana woman allegedly tossed her drug out the car window and promptly hit a patrolman with the airborne narcotics. Stephanie Dowdy was behind the wheel of a Honda Civic that was pulled over late a couple nights ago. Cops spotted the vehicle traveling in the middle of a roadway. When approaching the Honda's passenger side, the deputy was struck in the leg by a plastic bag thrown out of the passenger window. The bag, a probable cause affidavit states, contained a half gram of meth. So there's that.
That bag could have flown out from anywhere.
No, it couldn't have.
All right. Just trying to help her out. Help him out, whoever it is.
Parents name their daughter after internet provider for free Wi-Fi.
internet provider. What could it be?
This is in Switzerland, so it's not American. The cost of living can be expensive between monthly streaming costs, groceries, cable, and internet. But what Swiss couple, hoping to cut down on costs, reportedly named their daughter after their internet service provider in order to get free Wi-Fi for 18 years. The new parents responded to an ad from TwiFi, T-W-I-F-I, a Swiss-based internet provider offering to provide free internet for 18 years to anyone who named their child after the service.
So you'd have to be TwiFi?
No, Twifus for a boy or Twifia for a girl were the names chosen by the internet provider. So they named their daughter, so they went with
Would you do that when you have a kid?
No.
18 years free internet.
No.
Yeah, Abdel, what if your kid, say the Marquee Network came to you and said you'll get free Marquee Network for the rest of your life?
No.
Just name them Little Marquee.
No, I don't need to watch a two-hour fishing show for free. I'm good.
And Boston College football.
Yeah,
all right, so Nick Foles has responded. Today's a good response day with beef.
Clapbacks.
Yes, he clapped back at Tom Brady for not shaking hands. We'll tell you what Nick Foles said with JD in 2 minutes.